And we're back here again. Another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 369. It's going to be another rendition of Sunday Fun Day. Make sure if you're watching this, pay no attention to the deja vu episodes we had going on before, actually. Mr. Savage Jag's dogs literally wouldn't let us have it, you know, last show. So that was obviously not happening. So, yeah. Oh, okay. So might as well start it off right here. Mr. Rob Liefeld has this new, like, comic book that ended up dropping. It was called, like, Last Blood. But you said that it was, you know, something that he had already launched before, like Geoff Johns tried to do. So this is Last Blood. I think you can only get this through, like, his Whatnot or whatever, or WhatsApp, or I don't know, these are the random websites that people use, actually.
Yeah, why didn't he just go?
Is it true that he had a campaign that he didn't ended up fulfilling that hit like a big giant number actually?
I mean, he could. I mean, there's plenty of people out there in this industry that seem to do that on the regular. So, but yes.
Oh God, shade. God, just basically pulling out your whole fucking dick and just telling us. Oh God, man!
I love that fucking Tiso is in here. Tiso
Spencer, guy. Of course Tiso's there. Yep, of right course.
No, actually, Rob Liefeld kind of dunked on him a little bit and reposted that, but he was like, "Oh, CGC is not going to consider authentic, blah blah blah," and whatever, but I posted in private chat for you. He calls that Last Blood, and I'm going to just assume that this is connected somehow to his old Young Blood comics. I mean, this is what he...
Okay.
Young Blood was... It never really took off. I mean, God, how many publishers has it been under? Megaton Comics, Image Comics, Awesome Comics, Arcade Comics, Terrific Productions, One Piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's been in a million places, and it never...
Just like my wife?
I mean, I don't know what his name is, but... I'm wondering if this is another one of these characters from that. This is the thing about Rob Liefeld, is while he is a great artist who has had work consistently for decades now, no problem with that. That cover art looks fucking cool. I'm looks digging
great,
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But who's doing the story for him? Like, is he writing the story? Because that's been his problem. The stories for him never seem to work out really well. When he was in,
so he says, Marvel, J. David Ramos, Juan Rodriguez, Ed Taddeo, Russ Wooton.
And he had Fabian Nicea or Nicea. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had the guy. He had, let's see, is his name on here? Neither of their names are on here, but, you know, he had this guy helping him with New Mutants for the longest time, Fabian Nicea. Right. Was basically the guy who scripted and wrote this, even though Rob drew all of this. Mm-hmm. And number one selling comic of all time, X-Force One, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. I understand. I believe you, man.
He always brags about it every day. He's like, yeah, you know, this is where greatness comes from. Oh, it came from my creations. Yeah, because, you know.
Him and Ethan could have a circle jerk that would last infinity. Be like the two of them swallowing each other's dicks in the infinity symbol.
Oh, God.
Again, both of you fine gentlemen are great artists. Your stories have been okay at times.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's ever been a time that they've been like great, and maybe there probably are. You guys probably have some great stories that I'm just not thinking of. I mean, the early X-Force stuff was really good, but I think Fabian had a lot to do with that. And even the people who worked with Ethan. Mm-hmm. A lot to do with that scripting, a lot to do with making that art more meaningful with the script that was a part of it. But you're great artists. No one will ever take that from you. You've worked forever. But like I was saying about Image Comics writ large, Rob Liefeld was part of that group. Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, Eric Larson, Todd McFarlane, all these dudes.
Yeah.
More that went off to do their own thing. And I think Todd and Eric are arguing. Is that what you were saying when we talked earlier?
Yeah, there were a few last month. They were going back and forth. They were having a pretty heated debate on Twitter. And because that's what I wanted to bring up. Like, a lot of people have linked like Comicsgate to like the impact that it's had to like 90s Image. Now, obviously, as you guys know, I was born in 94, and the boom of Image that started came like 4 years before. And then it like obviously expanded through the 90s. Now, because I have to go through and look at all this history, it really was big then. Like, the story surrounding this even, I think, hit, like, mainstream media attention when this happened, too. Like, that's big. It actually meant something there, you know? Well, I don't think Comicsgate has hit mainstream media attention in the way that Image did. I just, you know, because the thing is, Comicsgate is, I don't know who the founding members of Comicsgate are. Some people say it's this guy. Some people say it's this guy. It's like, okay, guys, that's how founding works. Founding works where you know this guy started it. That's how it works, okay?
Yeah. No, there's always going to be argument with that, but that's the thing. It kind of is starting to hit the mainstream. Like, Eric July's Ripaverse stuff is getting some mainstream attention from some people. Yeah. He's having mainstream comics people come on and fucking talk to him. So he's starting to get taken seriously. And after this last book of his did a million that fast, that people are going to start looking at what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I love that the art was such a problem beforehand and how terrible it was. And now all they do is shit on the art, even though it is very clearly gotten considerably better. And taking from CG and bringing Kanan over and getting a art director to look at it, I think has definitely stepped the game up. And I'm just, I don't know, dude, I'm so burned out. And I'm even seeing other people I know. The other night on Dermy Wormy's channel, they were doing ball busters, and they just were kind of like, you know what? Gloves are off. CG's gone to shit. It's gone off the rails. Ethan Van Sciver clearly doesn't have the heart for doing the art anymore. He just wants to be a trash tuber because he feels like it's an easier way for him to make money. And the love for the art form has left him. And I was like, damn, you know, if I was an artist, people saying that about me would cut pretty deep there. I would want to get something out for my fans to look at and be able to rebuke this idea that I've lost the love of the art form as soon as possible. I would want to focus on that so much more than doing stupid YouTube videos that, while they may make you a little bit of money, they probably barely keep the lights on, but moreover, you don't really need the money. I mean,
as revenue doesn't pay anything, man. Outside
your means.
I think it's, man, like, the overstatement of ad revenue from smaller creators is so effing cringe, dude. Like, I told people this. Even when I had my bigger channel, the one you never got a chance to see, the paychecks that I would get from AdSense, I'll just tell people right now what they were. They ranged from $120 to about $180 a month. There was months I didn't get paid because you have to meet the $100 threshold. There were months, a couple months throughout the time where I would have like $99.99, and that means I wouldn't get paid that month, but they would add it into my subtotal for next month, actually, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, when you get the money, whenever I got it, I just paid bills. I just paid my internet bill, electric bill, whatever. Like, the money's really not all that it's cracked up to be. To make some actual money, you're gonna need like a lot more subscribers, because I think even Rogue Hero, like Chris, that I've had on one-on-one shows before and panel shows, he's at 21,000 subs. He's not living off his YouTube channel. You have to get like,
oh, hell no.
Damn, you would really need to be probably at like close to 100K subs. So like 70K. I've seen people that have hit 100K and still can't live off their YouTube channel. So I'm telling people this right now, someone who's been through it. I've did everything everything someone's probably thought of. I've did it. I've been through it. Every scenario, the ad revenue really isn't shit. Most money that these guys make come from sponsorship deals. It comes from people willingly just donating to them. Actually, that's a talent that people willingly donate to you. I've never had that talent naturally, but, you know, like Rumble's the only platform I technically make money through, but the most I've ever made off Rumble is like $90, actually. Like, I've only gotten paid like three times on Rumble. It's been like $50, $70, $90. So the highest I've ever made is like $90. You know, even ad revenue here is pretty bad, unless you can actually get some, you know, viewers here. actually. You know, this is how it is, honestly.
I've got $58.79 on my Rumble account. None of it's
going that's when they pay you out. I think the minimum threshold for them is 50, actually.
Yeah, but it takes them forever to fucking pay you out, so that's going to probably sit in there forever. I did make the other day, when I did that 8-hour, whatchamacallit, the 8-hour 3D printing stream I was doing, the little test stream I was doing with the weird setup I had going, somebody did give me a $6.90 dono. It was, I think it was Katie Did's dog through Stream Elements is how it came in. And they donated $6.90. But it was pretty, but that was my first live stream dono that I've actually, the money has hit my PayPal for it because Stream Elements does that right away.
Yeah.
So I integrated that with YouTube. It's over there. It's whenever you check out my channel, you know, hit that Stream Elements up.
Because I know people are always talking about, man, I want to do this and get big so I can make a living doing like content like this. It's just, I tell people right now, it's to get to that point, that's for the most part a pipe dream. Most of the bigger tubers that have been doing this to do that, not only did they start way in advance to build that audience up, it's like they've kind of been doing it so much to the point where like they, obviously they can live off this stuff, but like ever since a lot of more people are trying to just do that.
I mean, that's what Nerdrotic does. He's got people who legit, he's got three editors, a producer. Yeah. He's got like behind the scenes people that he pays gig work doing stuff that I don't know anything about it. I just have this idea that there are a few people just from things I've seen said by people either on X or wherever else. And I'm like, oh, they must get a little side scratch from Nerdrotic for doing it. And then Geeks and Gamers is very obviously a business.
They are for sure. Yeah.
Not shy about it. They put it forward.
People have to understand that's how big some of these people are. Like in Geeks and Gamers and Critical Drinker and Nerdrotic space where they make enough money on stream to the people on the panel get paid for their time there. You know, most people obviously are willing to do it for free because it's just you're having some fun with some buddies. But they're at the point where they could just pay a good amount to the people involved. And that's the thing. We don't even know if they're getting paid. Some of them just might be doing it because they just want to be there, actually.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't have to disclose any of that. But some of those people could very well be paid to come on. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dean Cain got some scratch for coming on. He's Dean Cain. Or promotion. I mean, that is the one thing that I think, like, when you see the creatives come on, and the bigger names come on, they're doing something. So it's promotion for them. And they realize that Gary Nerdrotic is a nut hair from a million subs. So he's got pull. He's got industry pull at this point. Much like it's funny. It's much like Ethan actually never really did, short of the people who agreed with him. And this is one of the things they pointed out on Ballbusters last night. Adam the Ren Nerd, Adam the Ren Nerd, the Renaissance Nerd, he was a big CG guy. And it was only very recently he finally kind of just said, nope, I'm done with this shit. I'm done with you. I'm done with all this crap because I'm kind of tired of this, of you just not being able to make any sense. And you very clearly walking away from what even in the indie scene made you great and just becoming a trash tuber, just becoming a lol cow. I mean, you're there. You've hit it. This is what people think, you know, when they see CG. Like, I want to see the next Kings and who's on it. It'll be interesting to see who shows up, if it's more than him and Shane. It'll say a lot, I think. But it's interesting because Adam had been looking at his account for quite a while, and he said, you know, I liked what Ethan was saying. I liked what Ethan was doing. Why isn't he growing? Why is his account for years been stuck at about 145K? Like, that's just where he is.
It's at 144K right now. Yeah, I think
now it is. He's lost 1,000 subs.
2,000, like, wasn't it? Because he was at 146. Well, was he not? He was close to 146. Yeah, when he was doing those pop culture videos, though, I thought those were actually pretty good. I felt like if he kept doing enough of those, they were good. Yeah, I felt like if he kept doing enough of those would have popped off for him. Because, like, we don't want. I was watching one of those because, like, you know, as bad as they are, it's like background noise sometimes, and it's only really good for that. I put it on one time when he had he was on a one on one with Shagsworth, and Shagsworth asked him, like, what are some of the great books coming out of Comicsgate? And he kept saying, like, John Malin stuff. He said Shane Davis's stuff. He said Grant Nolan stuff. And he said, I think one other person. But it's like, even someone like him doesn't say what these guys' stories are about, you know? Like, I don't know what John Malin's books are about. I don't know what Shane Davis's books are about. All I know is Shane Davis's book that's called Inglorious Rex. And I know Malin's books are called, like, Godlike, which is a pretty cool name. The character looked cool. The art looks great. And maybe it was Graveyard Shift, actually. But I don't know nothing about those characters. He keeps saying these books are great, but he doesn't even tell you why they're great. It's the same thing that he criticizes Eric for, of like, you're being vague and this, and you're talking generalities. Well, that's talking in generalities. I don't know what the fuck those books are about. You're supposed to convince me of that.
So that would be a funny super chat right there. Mm-hmm. You should super chat him and say, hey, what was your favorite part of the last issue?
What's your favorite part of Graveyard Shift? Yeah.
Yeah. You should. I would throw $10 at that just to see his response. I mean, maybe he's read it. Maybe he knows.
Yeah. Because the thing is, if he's supposed to be... Okay, also bring this up here. Okay, everyone. Because I think it was revealed that he, like, got the trademark thing for... There was a situation revolving around the Comicsgate trademark name of it, right? Okay, so I want people to know this is basic terminology about how these things work. If you own the trademark to something, okay, because I know Ethan Clancy's not an owner of Comicsgate. Okay, let's talk in retard talk right here. He owns or is paying to own the trademark, okay? Mm-hmm. So that would mean, legally, he does own Comicsgate to a certain degree, okay?
Does he, though?
Doesn't matter really what he says. That's how the law would make it work in that way.
Oh, I'm saying he can't use Comicsgate as a comic label. Notice when they tried to do that.
Yeah.
It was Comicsgate Arena. He had to change it. He had to adjust it. He had to make it different. Tells me he doesn't have all the rights in the world to that name, and that he didn't get to keep them, or that they're still in dispute.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason he didn't use it, because that title, that name had more notoriety than anything else, than the Iron Age did back when it started. And I always wondered, why didn't he just use Comicsgate Comics? Why did he not form a publisher under that name? I mean, we know why now. We know that he's so far behind on his books and the money's been spent that he doesn't have that money to build something. Like, he could build his own platform if he could do that with that. Like, he couldn't do that if he has the money. He couldn't do that without first getting all of his obligations settled. He's got too many of them outlaying with Indiegogo.
Mm-hmm.
But moreover, if he did do that, is he going to... Then he suddenly becomes an even bigger hypocrite, for one. And two, a lot of people are going to be like, fuck you, dude. I never got my books. Eat a dick. I'm not going over to your new platform. I'm not going to give you money. But, you know.
Like, that's kind of like my thing is, like, he had the triple Comicsgate triple threat. The people that he obviously puts like the top three, the trinity of Comicsgate is Shane, him, and John Malin.
I just will call that.
Like, that CG triple threat, I don't know when those books are going to fund, because it's money split between all three of them. Now there's three people's hands involved with this. And fulfilling this, actually, you know, I don't know how that's gonna work. I forgot about that CG triple threat campaign that existed, you know.
Like,
what's going on with that? I don't know when that's supposed to fulfill.
Comicsgate.org. There it is.
I forgot there is a Comicsgate.org.
Website. Yeah, I know. I always forget he has this website of his that I don't know what really goes on with this at all.
Yeah,
but I've been here before. Yeah, Inglorious Rex is the other one. Did he ever put out Inglorious Rex 1? Did people ever get that? Okay.
I think so, because he's on Inglorious Rex 2 now. No, I was gonna get Inglourious Rex. I was gonna get one of those Tampa Bay covers, but they had sold out, so I gotta wait to get it. I actually was interested in buying it. Maybe not so
much now. It's still up there though, it looks like.
Are you gonna get Eric Weathers' Battle Brick Road, actually?
I do want to get that. That's on my
look at. I gotta open it up over here. It's one of these packages. This next section of packages I'm going to open up for a mail day video. But he said Battle Brick Road 2 should start fulfilling late spring, early summer, which pretty much means I don't know when spring ends. I'm pretty sure spring ends like June, like first part of June, actually. So, yeah, I've heard from constant people that Battle Brick Road is one of the best indie comic books, actually. Like, that's the thing. Even though I like Eric's books, and I mean, Screecher is cool for what it is, you know, and obviously, we have Remnant that I have to go through, but I'm still, like, no one's really talked about what is, like, the best indie comic. Because the thing is, most people are just going to say, like, oh, well, mine's the best. Well, obviously, you fucking created it. Of course, you're biased to it. Like, what?
So, you know? This is where an idea that I had comes into play. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the High Council of old, back before Ethan ruined every friendship he had and caused drama in the entire group that did this kind of thing. I think we need a High Council of consumers for the indie comic scene. We need a group of people who are at least buying these books, reading these books.
Yeah, to come together reading them.
and really make real, have a real conversation about a book and make books, a couple of books, and make a kind of pointed decision saying, you know, this is trash. This is going in the long box. This is like a book that, while it's okay, I'm just going to kind of put it in storage. Like, it's, you know, it's all right. And this is going to go on the shelf. Like, this is some good shit. This is some high quality.
This,
like,
is the stuff you show up to your friend.
Yeah. Because I'm going to pull this out and I'm going to whip it out and show it to people.
You're
going to
whip it out. Oh, need to read fuck. It.
So that's what I'm thinking. Like, you've got three tiers. You've got trash. You've got long box. You've got up here. And it's kind of a competition where we should have, you know, a few books that we've read. We bring them together. We get together in kind of a monthly group panel show and hash out, like,
what are call it in the Iron Age Kings. No, okay, so I had this idea.
No,
like,
I'm
Thursday's show was supposed to be that. I think in the future I kind of want to do that, where like either Thursday's show was going to be like me and somebody else doing like pop culture news, where I can clip it out like Rip and Silverback. I'm still trying to find someone for that. Or maybe we do that, where Thursday is just like indie promotion, where it's like Thursday Kings indie promotion, like what A Drink of Crazy does with like comic book, his comic book shop Wednesday. Right. I was kind of thinking like that, you know, just some ideas that I have to, like, you know, get out there. Yeah, like, it's something where like I want a committed group of people doing it, because if there's not a committed group of people doing it, then it never happens, and I can't just do it myself. Like, I'm just not. Yeah. I don't have that level of influence.
It's going to take some planning though, because it's going to have to be like either finding people, and that's the thing. It may be a rotating group of people. Like, not everybody's going to have picked up Treble and read it.
That's a black guy. You can't support them, you know.
But like I'm saying, we're going to have to find people that have read these books. You know, so it may be like I'm not on some time, or you're not on some time, or whatever. We move people out who've read them, but we still have kind of this core group of people who are going to come in and converse this. So that may mean people have to buy the book ahead of time, get it in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like we did with the like Eric's books, where we set it up. Yeah, we planned it already out in advance. This is what we're going to do for these weeks straight. And then I told Strider, hey, we're going to do a follow-up video where we could talk about, like, what could the books improve on. And then now we're at the point where we're just going to wait on Yaira, and we're going to be here, obviously, doing it with Yaira. You know, it's just one of those things where I know myself, if I don't do it, I'm pretty sure no one else really is. I mean, the only person I know really doing it is like there's a few channels that I know. There's one channel that I know for sure is covering indie comics. It's like the Pop X Network. They cover like indie comics consistently. Yeah. And John Douglas's channel more or less still covers indie fantasy, but that's pretty much still similar to what the ideas we're going to be doing.
I want to just kind of have I want to stop and have that conversation. And I need to get into it. I need to get into my comic book channel in general, because I'm a lazy fuck and I haven't done anything with it yet, other than make a logo I need a stupid intro video. Did I finish posting that? No, I didn't. Oh, yeah. I was making a post here really quick. It's the You Don't Even Read Comic Starter Kit. Here we go. This is my... When they tell me...
One sec. Let me get this done. Oh, as you guys know, I have two videos coming out very soon. A channel update video and a podcast schedule video coming out where I'm going to be detailing in the channel update video plans for the channel that I'm still enacting, the goals for the channel, and the podcast schedule video. I'm going to detail, you know, like the schedule for the podcast and when you can expect them, because people have asked me like, when do these happen? And it's like, well, I kind of explained it before, but you know, you always want to have that one video you can link people to where any of the other questions they have for you could just like be there, you know? And that's the thing is looking at all this like indie comic stuff. Like, I mean, my Mike Baron, I recently bought Bronze Star. A lot of people kept talking about how good it was. And, you know, I had Mike Baron on for a Iron Man podcast episode, but he couldn't stay the whole time. So I ended up cutting it. And then I ended up releasing that just as like a separate video. Gifted Rebel, or I think it was Adam Lawson, he also couldn't stay the whole time. So I ended up cutting that, and I'm going to release that as a separate video. What I'm also going to do is I'm going to end up splicing them together with one simple little like, hey, 2 moments late there, and then have, you know, both episodes. I'm going to put them both together, put a single clip, then I'm going to edit them and upload that as a, you know, Iron Man podcast episode on Rumble, actually. So you guys will see those episodes again. It's just going to be a merged episode together, because I figured to myself, there's no point in not having it together. That's so, like, at this point now, when someone invites me on their show, and I just title the show, you know, it's a conversation. I know that conversation thumbnail I had of just like two dudes talking. I was like, Nick, you make me do this to myself. Good Lord. Rogues Gallery, I'm sorry for missing on Friday. By the time they started, I was just so tired, and I had already had a one-on-one schedule anyway. You
fucking stream all day.
What do you mean? I'm alive.
You were constantly on. So I can understand you needing a nap on Friday night.
I took a nap earlier. I took a nap before the Cloud 9 podcast. I came home and I was on the floor because my computer wasn't on. I was just on the floor and I was like, I'm tired. I passed out and it was 5:40 and Chaz was like, hey, we're doing this. And I was like, yep. Came in. I was on autopilot. Just pull the link, password in, sign in, show starts.
Yeah, dude. And then Iron was, we just ran late as fuck. We just got into the weeds. Mm-hmm. I know he wanted to have that show be in an hour and a half, but I don't think he's yet to do that.
For the gaming show?
No, for Rogues Gallery.
Rogues Galleries. Well, I think for him, he needs to decide which format for a show he wants to have. You know, once he gets the idea of what show he wants to have in the future, because I know he just started, so this is going to be like growing pains you have to go through anyway. Depending on what style of show he wants, that's how it's going to pan out to be. Because I don't really know what style of show he wants. I think because he wanted something like what we have here is, you know, we just kind of just go for it and talk. But there are certain days we do have topics. We do cover them as first things to cover because, you know, that's what people are here for, to hear us talk about, you know. But he's doing a pretty good job overall. He's, my God, people don't understand. When I first started doing this, dude, I grabbed my disgusting Metro PCS phone and recorded my first video. And that's when I first did this. I told anybody, if you're not doing that, you already started off way better than I did. Saying that right now. Just putting it out there.
I definitely started off better than most people, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going anywhere because I just probably not go anywhere. My topics aren't exactly all that enthralling. But I just, you know, need to use all of my obscenely expensive camera gear for something other than the occasional photo shoot.
Like, I was thinking about doing that too, like making like the backup YouTube account that I have, just using that just for like comic book content. But I'll just keep everything in I'm going to have all my pre-recorded content on Rumble. So if anyone's watching right now, all the pre-recorded content that I started uploading to Rumble around the time that you guys saw the Barbenheimer videos will be up there. Even if it's all old, outdated content. I don't want to lose this stuff like I did last time. But to the point where, like, the newest videos will be there when they drop. Because I just get more traction on Rumble than I really do on YouTube. Like, you know, YouTube, I have my set audience that are there. They watch. But when I put out a pre-recorded video on, like, Rumble, it just does better. I have no clue why. Maybe it's because it's a different type of algorithm, actually. You know? Maybe that's the reason why. Algorithm.
Whatever it is, however it works, very strange.
And the Jeremy Geeks and Gamers, Matt Walsh, the Daily Wire video that we did, it's coming out tomorrow, 12 p.m. PST. And it's a banger. Like, I don't do premieres. I know people have asked me, why don't you do premieres? I don't like premieres. I think premieres are trash, honestly, for YouTube videos. I don't really like them, honestly. Like, for me personally, I just don't care for them. Like, I used to do premieres on my YouTube channel a long time ago, the bigger one, and it just does – they don't really get any traction. For you to get a nice traction on one of those, like, big premiere videos, you have to get, like, a big audience, and I just don't have the kind of pull right now with people where they're going to check out my premiere of a video instantly. They're like, it's just not going to happen.
Oh, motherfucker. You know? I need one more follow on my Dad Builds Rumble channel, and I can get my custom URL. I have 9. I need 10. But yeah, I uploaded that long ass live stream to my 3D printing channel, my making channel on YouTube. But it's gonna. I set it to release at like 10 or noon tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But what is a premiere exactly on YouTube? I saw that as an option, and I didn't choose it. But like, what does that do?
For which video you want?
Like if you're uploading a pre-recorded or already recorded video to YouTube, what does the premiere option do? Like what when if you're
choosing it just gives that countdown thing. That's it.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. So just like what you know StreamYard does that 30-second countdown, it'll do like the same thing. So you premiere it, you set the music you want for the premiere, and you set the theme you want, and then it just automatically goes like a scheduled video.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, whatever. I'm not worried about it. I'll just let the live stream drop back to that channel. I did it on my normal channel because I didn't click go live on the Dad Builds channel a day beforehand. So when I went to go do it, I'm like, oh, fuck. And it's a channel that's attached to my main channel. So I'm like, maybe I thought it would just carry over the ability to go live, but nope. So I re-uploaded and I'll let it drop tomorrow. Actually 7 hours and 48 minutes of it.
I want to get in the style of doing comic book videos like this, actually. And people are like, are you turning the channel to a comic book channel? No, guys. The channel that you guys see, Master Swag King, is supposed to encompass everything that I love. There might be some months I'm all into comic books. There might be some months I'm all into video games. There might be some months I'm all into, like, movies. There might be some months I'm all into TV shows. I don't care. It's just one of those. I go through a lot of phases. You know, I'm a very I'm a bipolar person to a certain extent. But, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to have for a YouTube channel. I've gained subs doing pretty much anything, so might as well just keep doing it the way I'm doing it. Also, I want to be eventually at the point where I could drop comic book videos like this. So I've told people the comic book videos you're going to be seeing for me are obviously comic books I bought. I'm going to relaunch that. I did a very bad job with it the first time. Episode 1 of that's going to premiere very soon. I have the one where I have the mail days, where I open the comic books, and I am going to be doing comic book hauls where I'm going to be showing off like comic books that I recently bought and read, and then giving you a brief synopsis of the overall book itself, actually. Kind of similar to what like Comic Book Corner 2.0 does. Like, I want to get to the point where I'm like this, you know, thumbnails like this, you know, where you can do titles like that. Like, oh, God. See, that's the thing. People got to understand, for YouTube videos to pop up, you got to make the title of the video pretty interesting and thought-provoking and clickbaitish to a certain extent. That's why like some videos for people don't pop off, because they don't really put much thought into the title. The title and the thumbnail are kind of really what get people, you know, clicking on the video, actually. Like, people want to know what Marvel's new event is, which is going to be Blood Hunt coming out. Issue number zero is not actually Blood Hunt, people. It is, but it's like one of those, it's one of those artist books where you're just getting, like, interviews with the creators and, like, the concept of, like, oh, this is how we came up with Blood Hunt. And, dude, did you notice recently how, like, the guy running the X-Men titles, I think it's Tom Brevoort, he was mentioned, like, on Twitter that no one's been caring about, like, the relaunch of the X-Men, actually. Well, yeah. And people saw the relaunch of the X-Men that they put out? Because, you know, the title of the X-Men relaunch is From the Ashes. Two on the nose. Stop. Why does that have to happen every single time? If people have been saying this property's dead, and I say From the Ashes, it's just, you know, coming together.
And Tom Brevoort, together. I mean, wasn't he part of the problem in the first place? Let me see.
Bill Rapp put it out on Facebook, and then I was like, huh, actually. And I was like, okay, there's a reason why no one's been interested in X-Men, actually. Okay, dude, so Rogue Hero said he'll be free at 8 PST. So on Wednesday, we'll do the show at 9, actually. Or 9:30. Okay. Is that fine? Okay.
That should be good.
Just letting you know. Okay, just letting you know, because this one right now will be 8 PST. All right, and let me just tell him that that's cool. Okay. That's cool. All right, so Bill... Okay, let me do the whole... shit, X-Men... No, because if I type in X-Men on Facebook, I'm about to be getting some trannies.
Oh, yeah, he did. He was editor during the new Avengers phase of Avengers, Civil War, and he did Fantastic Four. Him and Alex Alonso were... Yeah, they were there for... in the early 2000s and, like, the early 2010s. And I think before that, too. He's around 2010.
Did you not see this?
Yeah.
Actually? So, it was... You have the Uncanny X-Men that's dropping.
Gail Simone. Oh, I was out already.
Yeah. Already done. So, they have three X-Men titles dropping. The Uncanny X-Men, Gail Simone, David Marquez. You have this X-Men, which is Jed McKay, Ryan Stegman. People forget Jed McKay's also headlining Blood Hunt. So not only do they have Jed McKay headlining Blood Hunt, which is going to last for about 40, 50 issues, because you know Marvel likes to stretch out their big events, just like my wife's asshole last night that I did. This guy's also going to be running X-Men. Like, people talk about the comic industry when they do like you and they like your work burning their creators out. How in the world is this guy not going to be burnt out? I forgot. I'm pretty sure he's a writer writing Blood Hunt and then writing for X-Men. Good lord, he better be getting some fucking good money there. Just saying. Then you have Exceptional X-Men. Great. Oh, that's gonna probably be a fucking gay one. Exceptional X-Men. What's supposed to even be Marvel? Eve L. Ewing and Carmen Carnero?
I don't know who any of those people are other than Gail Simone. And Gail Simone lost the plot a long fucking time ago.
Yeah. Good lord.
Lost the plot, no. But you know what she didn't lose? You know what Gail Simone never lost? She always managed to retain knowledge of exactly where her next sandwich was.
Juggernaut is not a mutant. Bill said, just didn't look appealing and terrible writers. Yeah, because the Tom Brevoort talked about, well, no one's talking about my X-Men relaunch. No one's talking about X-Men relaunch. No one cares. Everyone that talks about X-Men goes and reads back issues and goes gets omnibuses from back in the day. People even will get Ultimate X-Men, which at one point, I think a certain portion of those issues were done by Brian Michael Bendis. You know?
They were, back before he sucked terribly bad.
I'm actually going to get the Ultimate X-Men omnibuses. Those look so cool. I can't wait to eventually dive into those. But most people, when you talk about X-Men, they're not getting stuff probably past like 2009, 2010. You know? Oh, yeah. Like, X-Men guys have not popped up. You think like X-Men, oh, that's a team with Wolverine, Cyclops, and Professor X. Yeah, movies, people remember these guys, but comic-wise, for a long time, people have not liked these books at all. Yeah. It's the... Like, if I told you guys some of the shit that I've been looking through when it comes to some of these characters, oh, they have treated these characters like straight dog shit. actually.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not only do you have people out there spreading constant misinformation regarding these X-Men characters, talking about their freaking for marginalized groups and all that gay shit. Like, they're constantly having, like, you have, like, you have a new title that's out right now called Resurrection of Magneto. Who the fuck's reading that? You have, like, this war going on between Sabretooth and Wolverine. There's another Wolverine book called Wolverine Martyrpore. It's like, it's just too much, man. It's just too fucking much, you know? And here, I'll show you guys right now. This week coming up, League of Comics Geeks.com. Here's what's coming out this week. X-Men usually has some stuff coming out. Okay, so here's some of your X-Men stuff. Look at this. Resurrection of Magneto.
Blood issue.
Oh, yeah, right here. X-Men Forever, number one. You guys interested in this? Who's interested in this? Just think. Who's my writers? Kieran Gillen, artist. None of these people.
I've heard of Kieran, but he was like a fucking C-level artist that are a writer that people brought in when, like, he was always doing the ass tier books. The books guaranteed
they gave him the ice mini series, Astonishing Iceman. That's what they gave him.
Nobody asked for, like, seriously.
Oh, god. So, that's your X-Men title coming out. Remember, this is an issue one, so it'll probably get a bump in sales numbers. You know, as we all know, Marvel likes their issue number ones. Resurrection of Magneto. Any guys reading this? And if you said yes, then you'd be telling the truth. You're right. No one's reading this. If you haven't heard about this, I'd be surprised. Like, I don't know. Storm is fighting Magneto in this book. I don't fucking know what the premise was. I read the synopsis of issue one on here, and I was like, nope. I'm getting my money. I'm good. I'd rather slit my throat. What else is here for X-Men? They canceled Scarlet Witch's ongoing series, which was at 10 issues. They rebooted her with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. I bought issue one. I'll read issue one and see if I like it. But I don't know.
Up in the stairs, and Quicksilver has to, you know, get her out. Quicksilver, I'm stuck in
the stairs. They're actual brother and sister. That would be blatant words I can't use on here. Fucking weird. I'm saying I don't at this point have to do in Marvel
over again.
You never know. So for last week,
I never know.
All right, so this week right here, obviously Wolverine's probably the character. Wolverine has his own ongoing series. So this is a Sabretooth War Part 5. What is with DC and Marvel this year with wars? Gotham War, Sabretooth War, Gang War.
Because the left loves war. They're
I don't really know what's going on. What is this war stuff people have going on with them?
Because my war in Ukraine, my war with Russia, warmongering, OG warmongering too.
This is part five. Who's getting any of this stuff? Who buys this stuff?
Is that the issue where Wolverine cucks Cyclops, or was that last issue?
What else is here? You have Fall of the House of X, issue number 3. No one's probably reading that. No one's buying that. No one talks about that. It's and then you have Dead X. I forgot I noticed this last week.
It used to be men. I mean, we could draw some correlations here, but I don't want to fuck your algorithm.
Is Marvel admitting something here? Just saying, they have a literal ongoing series they just started called Dead X-Men. Oh, shit. Oh, Dead X-Men issue number 3. Yep. Good job, Marvel. Good job. You successfully killed probably arguably your second biggest IP in comics next to Spider-Man. Arguably, it's pretty much X-Men and Spider-Man that are the top for the most part. If you check like all their biggest sales, there's a reason why Spider-Man gets the most books, guys. Same thing with Batman for DC. Those guys sell the best. And you know what sells the best for Warner Brothers right now? Would be a book like the books that are on it. Check this out. Detective Comics, which is his for Spider-Man, it's Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing Fantasy, whatever Spider-Man's is. His is Detective Comics. That's Batman's thing. Superman is Action Comics. The Batman ongoing series sells more than Detective Comics. Because Detective Comics, people, I haven't read where people probably are at right now. I read the synopsis of where, like, the arcs start. They are on some weird demonic voodoo shit with Bruce Wayne. There's a reason why these are selling more. Go and read the synopsis of Detective Comics stuff recently. That stuff is like, this is retarded. And that's why I haven't bought any. I bought like one because like the cover art looked really, 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 really good. I just had to have it. But other than that, I didn't read it because I was like, I don't know what is up with that stuff. So this main Batman series has been selling for DC. This is the one. This is their only top selling book. I mean, they just had Joker Year One. They had Joker Year One. I don't know why. Because reasons.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four. Who buys? No one buys Catwoman books. I know Catwoman can be fine on her own. Yeah, she could. But I don't. I mean, no one ever talks about buying those books. You know? Is there anything out here in the indie realm? Indie realm, what we have here? Good lord. Okay. Any of this indie stuff?
These aren't real indie books. If these were real indie books, they wouldn't actually have been produced.
Oh, true. True.
Actually, putting your comic out is completely antithetical to everything at the foundations of the indie comics movement.
Says the guy that had never even did any of that. He never even made a book. They never even like threw money at a book, actually. Which
these guys never even read a comic book.
Yeah. Planet of the Apes, Army of Darkness. Like, some of the indie titles even on here, like, they don't they're not interesting. Like, the reason why some of the indie titles don't sell or they don't actually pull anything in is because they're not interesting. Sorry, some of you guys out there. It's just not interesting. Your books are, like, all right. They're okay. But they're not, like, when I mean interesting, it's not, like, something that I'm grabbing off the freaking. If I saw that on the it's not on like spinner rack.
For exciting comics and said, oh, they put a titty window in this comic. I'm going to go buy your first two issues.
Look at this. Wolverine, Marty Poor Knight's number two. Who is buying this?
Man,
what is this for? I'm going to be saving a whole lot of money this week because you usually, guys, I'll come here and I'll, pick up some of the books that I have on here. Like, I can hit, like, my wish list right here. And I could just be like, oh, this is on my wish list right now. Nightwing issue 111 started the new arc, which is Tom Taylor's last rendition for Nightwing that's going to be ending apparently at this arc. I have all the other trade paperback. I have the hardcovers for this Nightwing series, starting with Leaping Into Light, Fear State, and all the other stuff. This one right here starts like the final arc, and I was thinking about, you know what? It starts a brand new arc. I like to usually start at issue one when it comes to this stuff, but for comics, it's different like that. So when it starts a brand new arc and it's like the first part of the arc, I'm fine with it. As long as I'm at the beginning, then I'm good. You know? So you have Nightwing coming out this week. What else do you have here? Okay, so that's, you have Nightwing, Invincible Iron Man. I'm just doing through trade paperbacks right now. Justice League versus Kong versus Godzilla. I'm just gonna get that in the trade. I did buy the first two issues. I never got a chance to read them because I was so busy, but that I'll just get in trades. Spawn has three series. You have regular Spawn, which just passed issue 350. That'd be a landmark issue, actually. And you have Gunslinger Spawn and King Spawn. I bought trade paperbacks for King Spawn and Gunslinger Spawn. Regular Spawn, I'll have to buy like the Copediums, Omnibus versions of them, actually. I'm not getting this Black Panther series. I'm getting the Ultimate Black Panther series. So I'll get Ultimate Black Panther 2. I bought the first issue of this G.I. Joe series. I've heard some good things about it. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, like I said before, I have issue one. I'll see if I like it, and I'll see if I get issue two. But yeah, there's nothing really here this week. You know, what's that like? And I can't really buy issue two until I read issue one, because I don't know if I'd like to get issue two. So I have Web of Spider-Man. I have, just two issues. Web of Spider-Man and Nightwing issue 112. Sorry, Web of Spider-Man number 1 and Nightwing issue 112. That's pretty much it. Oh, and I can't get this yet either because I have to see if I like G.I. Joe issue 301, which is what this arc starts, actually.
I've got to finish reading Void Rifles, actually. Got to finally get this done.
Look at this. Detective Comics. Getting look at this weird thing. Shit they're doing. I don't know what they're doing with Batman in this series anymore. Hey, can you get back to actually doing detective work in some of these issues instead of doing like weird demonic shit that no one cares about? Please give me back to what I like. All right. Ultimate Spider-Man number 3 drops. I know people have asked, should they just wait for a trade for Ultimate Spider-Man? If you don't want to waste the money on number 1, I'm not saying you shouldn't either. I think it's a if you're a Spider-Man fan that has been clamoring for something good regarding Peter Parker, it's not a bad issue one to buy. But if it gets to issue number 4 and you haven't even picked up issue number 1 because issue 1 can go for a fair price on eBay depending on which variant cover you have to get, cuz the main variant cover costs a lot of money, I would just say wait for a trade. It's not a bad series though, and when you do get to the trade, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I'm going to read a review issue number 2 very soon. I crapped out of this Flash series a while ago. I bought the Green Arrow trade paperback for Dawn of DC, the first 6 issues, actually. What else do I have here? I bought the first issue of Duke. I bought the first 2 issues of Duke, actually. So I'll probably end up just getting the third one and then get the fourth one. X-Men 97, issue number 1. I am going to get this. The art doesn't look that good. But,
it looks interesting. You know,
It's one of those like, okay, I'll check out issue 1. We'll see. Yeah, it might be a case where this might be even better than the actual show. You literally never know, honestly.
Probably will be. I don't know who's writing it.
Let me see. I'll go back and see. What else? Anything else here? Like, look, another Batman series. Like, Batman has like 14, 15 ongoing title. Another one. Batman Dark Age issue number 1.
Oh, they started a fucking new Thunderbolt series? Why?
Yeah. It's probably going to get canceled after Able like this issue. Well. Who buys these? Who buys Thunderbolt comics? Who buys that stuff?
I don't know who's reading Marvel.
Guess what it's on my pull list, guys. It's on my pull list. Jackpot and Black Cat issue number 1. Okay. Big old titties.
Wow, they gave them big tits. Who the fuck is drawing this? That's wild.
Who's writing this?
They gave them big
of course titties. There's a woman writer. Of course.
Must be a lesbian.
God. Oh, she's gonna wow. That's pretty hot.
Diking out.
They're going to be eating each other's fucking pussies in this issue, and I can't wait for it.
Don't get it.
So look at all these variant covers. They have open order covers, incentive covers, retail covers. These actually look really good. I will give them this. Oh. These actually look really, really good. They look great. I think
Mary Jane Watson is Jackpot. Did they even give her powers, or is she just like...
I honestly don't know. All right, so what's the synopsis? So the reason why I messed up on comic books I bought, the way for me to convince you guys that these might be good, I have to probably read the synopsis out to you. That's why I kept giving like my thoughts on the books, but when I bring back comic book books I bought for episode 1, I will go through the synopsis and tell people why I bought the book. But this is the synopsis for Jackpot and Black Cat issue 1 coming out blah, 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 blah. Next week. No, not next week. This is the 27th, actually. But yeah, look. Oh gosh, she really wants to taste some Black Cat pussy. She wants to taste that shit. Luck be the ladies. The most exciting new hero in the Marvel Universe, Jackpot, aka Mary Jane Watson. New
fucking hero. Oh, Jesus Christ. Already starting off fucking retarded here. She's not new. They did that stupid shit with her a while ago. Nobody fucking cared.
I remember they dabbled in trying to give her like superpowers or a codename or whatever a long time ago. Never popped they off. No one cared.
Outside of Peter Parker. Because they already basically ruined her character and her relation to Peter Parker. So Dan Slott, or Dan Slut, whatever you want to call his worthless ass.
Dan's got a small cock.
Yes, that too. Very, very small. When did they do this with her? So it's actually an older character. The character Jackpot was a British character.
Mm-hmm.
But when did they turn her into what's her face? Mary Jane. I think it says it here somewhere. Jackpot is the name of three superheroes appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. The first incarnation was Sarah Ehert. First appeared in Spider-Man Swing Shift and was created by Dan Slott and Jimenez. Yep. But they did this. Let's see. What powers does she have? Then there was Elena Johnson, who all of them, though, you knew, you always knew that this was supposed to be Mary Jane because they always made her look exactly like fucking Mary Jane. She was always Mary Jane. Even if they had it under someone else's bullshit name, it was always meant to be Mary Jane. This is what they were trying to set up and do. And somehow she has superhuman strength, speed, agility, reflexes, durability, and stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Generic as fuck. See, how did Jackpot get her powers? Jackpot's powers originate from mutant growth hormone and anabolic steroids combined with several other drugs. So she's a junkie.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
You know what? You know what? Once upon a time, Stan Lee gave you motherfuckers an open door to just making heroes and characters. Mm-hmm. They were called mutants. The whole fucking reason X-Men exists is because he didn't want to come up with fucking origins anymore. Which also, why? Because he didn't want to give them shitty origins like this. And he thought a simple origin of, well, they're mutants and I don't know, radiation, ambient to the air, nuclear testing, global whatever. He didn't really ever explain it. He just said, I don't want to have to come up with origin stories anymore. We're just going to call them mutants. They've been mutated. Cool beans. Why?
Yeah,
because it was hard work to come up with good backstories, and it just and he was looking for a way to streamline hero creation, and he didn't want to give them shitty backstories like this. Now
that's the thing, is not every character needs a backstory. I think he realized back then what a backstory takes away the mysterious feeling that you think about a character. Like, there was a character in Bleach called Ukiura. There was a character in Bleach called Ukiura, and I never knew the character's backstory ever. And I made the character even more, a lot more alluring. And the backstory he has is fine. It ties into what the character is. But, like, when I didn't know what it was, I was like, bro, this character is cool as hell. And most of the characters that I've seen into, like, anime don't even have backstories. I mean, anime has a trope of giving characters every single character a backstory, but there's just certain characters. Why do they have, like, there's no need for a backstory on some of these characters. There's no need for them to even exist. Like, when you think of Mary Jane, you don't think of, like, Mary Jane as a superhero.
No. I think of her as a supermodel who Spider-Man is banging. I don't get it. It was just like when Marvel did that with Wolverine, and now DC's doing it with Joker. It's like, these characters did not need to have their origin explained.
Yeah.
They didn't. They just... Yeah. And it's funny because all these years later, nobody talks about Wolverine's origin anymore. The origin story of Wolverine kind of faded to the background. You always knew all the things that you had gathered about Wolverine over the years are still the things that ring true about Wolverine. He was Canadian. The Canadian government did a lot of fucked up shit to him, which is actually really prophetic for Marvel to paint such a eugenicist brush over the fucking Canadian government and some of their programs, given Canadian healthcare's inner workings these days.
Oh, but, yeah.
I mean, all of that stuff is the stuff that to this day, I've even read the story, and I don't think at the end of the day, it really changed the character. It just kind of removed the mystique from the character. You washed away some of who he was and some of this question that didn't need to have an answer. And, you know, I don't, you understand kind of, you understand maybe some of the backstory with him and Sabretooth to some extent, but to this day, none of it matters. And who knows if it's even fucking canon anymore. They've probably retconned it by now.
Yeah, that's like, the thing. Yeah, that's the big issue when it comes to like things like Joker Year One. Because I heard that they were doing it, and I was like, well, can't wait to have this retcon in about 5 years when DC Comics go through yet another reboot, you know? Mary Jane Watson gets her first action-packed limited series as a superhero alongside the other best female character in comics, Black Cat. When someone blackmails Black Cat into a public and blatant crime spree, Jackpot comes to her aid. What classic Spider-Man villain is behind the blackmail? My God. God, it's almost as like, what villain do I know from Spider-Man's rogues galleries that knows dirt on people and blackmails them to get what he wants out of them? He's like a really powerful guy that kind of basically runs the mob, you know, in New York. Yeah, he's kind of big, not really muscular, or bald and strong and intimidating. He could probably punch these two and kill them instantly if he really wanted to, honestly.
The big reveal at the end of the first issue is Black Cat doing blacked porn on blacked.com.
That might actually make them sell more books, just saying. Black Cat, Jackpot and Black Cat get blacked out by BBC Tyrone. Issue number 4. Miniseries conclusion. Someone with history, at least one of our titular heroines. I'll get this. It's 40 pages, $5.99. Fuck it, I guess. I'll see. You know, like, I always, even because people are like, did you buy Woman of Marvel? I did. I want to read it for myself. I people might tell me it's bad. People will always tell me if something's good or bad. Always make sure you check out things for yourself. If you've not ever read it or watched it, you could just say, oh, I wasn't interested. I haven't read it. There's no reason for you to, even if I don't like what Marvel's doing with some of these characters, I'm not going to shit on someone's work and be like, oh, it's trash when I've never read it nor consumed it. Like, that's not fair even to them, and I'm not like that.
I mean, to be fair, my opinion of it is the reason I don't read modern comics anymore, I don't read the big two.
It's not interested. Because
so much of it is shit, and so much of it is disinteresting that I just don't. I don't engage. Is it shit, like, for sure? I don't know. I'm just going to say it's probably shit and not read it.
I would imagine. Dragon number one hit. Oh, yeah. Starting in April 3rd, the week of April 3rd, Dagger number one, Rook Exodus number one, and Red Coat number one. All
three most interesting ones actually drop. You got to go pick up Tiger for fucking $9 on Amazon, dude.
I should probably do that before this one comes out, honestly.
Not a bad idea. Does Deadpool have tits now?
I forgot they're launching Deadpool number one because, you know, Rob Liefeld said he's, I'm pretty sure he's not writing. He's not writing this. No way. I checked this a while ago. I was going to put this on my pull list, but I don't know. I'm not the hugest fan of Deadpool. I don't really care for him as a character all that much. Great.
Cody Ziegler writer. From the Miles Morales stories. Great. I used to love Deadpool. I'm a huge fucking Deadpool fan back in the day. I don't know what they've done with him. They really got lost in the fucking weeds when they brought in, Jerry Dunnigan and that other one comedian to write it. Like, it
started Gary Dugan?
Gary Dugan. It got bad. Oh wow, look at that. Scroll up. Back up to Savage Dragon. I wasn't sure where that was at. So there you go. Savage Dragon. Like you were saying about Image earlier. Mm-hmm. The only two people, and Savage Dragon isn't a quarter as popular, nor does it sell a quarter of what Spawn does. But Eric Larson has managed to keep putting this out. What? Because Eric Larson is a co-owner of Image, and his book is always going to come out. I don't know a damn thing about it anymore. I think I read a few issues back in the day, but it was never anything as interesting as Spawn was. And that's the thing about Image. This is what happens with indie. Most of it is going to get lost in the clouds. It's always going to be niche shit. And a certain number of people are going to buy it and be interested because of what it is. Mm-hmm. All of these books that are out there, like, no, and these are like the higher end of indie. These have actually got a publisher to let them be produced. They're not even
And this is the thing, man. I don't even really consider Image, Dark Horse, or someone like Boom Studios, like indie publishers. Those are indie's a major publisher. So was Dark Horse.
I guarantee you some of the shit that's getting put out by Image and Dark Horse, Eric July is outselling.
That's maybe not crazy to think about, but actually, but
quite a bit of it. He is absolutely outselling this shit.
Yeah. Where is the number two and everything? Where was Rook and blah, 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 blah. I'm pretty sure Geiger. Yeah. This is my most anticipated indie comic coming out. Sorry, indie. My most anticipated comic coming out for the week of April 3rd.
New universe.
Like, Geiger was interesting. I liked Redco. That was a really cool story. Rook for sure. 48 pages. Rook
didn't even exist.
$3.99.
Mad Ghost stuff. Only Geiger did, and Redcoat kind of did, but his book never came out. So it'll be interesting to see Jeff Johns finally get this put to the shelf. And when that comes out? Oh, shit, dude. That's my birthday. April 3rd. My birthday's on a Wednesday. That's right. And I'm off work day. I should go to the comic shop.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. I'll do a little comic shop haul for my birthday. I'll go pick up 3 books and hope they don't suck. And I'll make sure that I have Geiger by then. I will pick up and have delivered Geiger by my birthday. And I'll do a little Mad Ghost comics read through and decide.
Dude, that's what we should. Like, Comic Halls, Adam said if he puts those videos out on YouTube, they don't do as well. But he puts them out on Twitter. For some reason now, based off how Twitter's algorithm is, Twitter's algorithm for just getting views on your stuff is just better.
Yeah.
Like, YouTube has really dropped the ball on that stuff.
Where do I find my videos on fucking Twitter? Because I point StreamYard at it, but I don't know where the fuck they are. Like, let me see. Because I just did one video last week that I know absolutely hit X because I pushed it to X. But
did you do a dad cast last week? I think, yeah, you did. Yeah.
I did one yesterday. Did one last night. But I don't know where the hell it is.
Did you do it with Jack? Did it go well?
Yeah, Jack Carlisle. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it went well. It was a great conversation. I don't know how much attention it's going to get. It's weird.
Do you know which
I have
comic
book no way to gauge that.
Like, I wanted to ask you this. Which comic book publisher do you think should be getting more attention, but the name doesn't sell anymore? Like, I always think of, like, Valiant. Like, no one ever really brings up Valiant at all.
Does Valiant even do anything anymore?
I don't even know, honestly. What are the best titles they even have still? I know they have Bloodshot. I know they tried doing a Bloodshot movie with Vin Diesel.
Ugh.
Valiant, no one's buying this. Look, okay, so Live Wire and the Secret Weapons number one, 56 pages, $13 for this. Dude, this art? Nah. We're good. We're good on that.
Where do they keep your videos on X? Do you even know?
It should be in media, actually.
Yeah, I don't see it at all. I know I fucking broadcast to X. Did any of my other ones that I broadcast to X show up?
I forgot. Valiant was founded by Jim Shooter. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. I do not see any of the videos I've sent to X actually here. I know it was on X yesterday. I think I even got a message from X.
That's just Bloodshot. That's their character. What sells from Valiant?
They're going to go out of business if they're not out of business already. They're already beyond done.
Like, who buys? Even in the conversation now, who buys Valiant comics, actually? I don't hear anything about these characters at all. So it's radio silence on some of these guys.
Yeah.
Let me try and go. Let me see on Twitter. Oh, I did buy an indie comic person's thing. Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Paul? How you doing, man? I wonder why people do not say anything on Twitter. We are all getting a ton of views, but nobody's commenting. Speak up, people. That's not really a problem with people, so to speak, man. It's people generally like to people like to view more than comment. Most people are just gonna be lurkers in general. I do the same thing, so I see what you're saying. I fully get it. It's just how people function, brother.
I wish I knew where the hell the fucking videos even were, dude. I can't find them. This is the problem. Where do you watch something that isn't currently going live? And once it's gone live, it disappears. It's gone. Like I have
no. When it's done live, it goes to your timeline. I think actually. So let me show you.
Have on my timeline. Let me see.
What's wrong with your Twitter? Are you blacklisted?
I have no idea. Maybe I know that I fucking posted.
Yeah. So right here, we're going right here. When you go live, it just goes instantly to your main homepage. It should be media. Oh, yeah. This is all craziness, guys. I posted a pic. Oh my goodness! I'm using this picture. Oh
yeah, look at them views, brah.
This is what I put. This is what I put. I put Sydney Sweeney is hot.
Oh man, I got some pictures of her from her older Instagram video pictures. I should post that, man. I'll get a shit ton of views. Oh, I'm roboting.
Hello? Hi, how are you doing? If you click on the video, a chat window opens. Yeah. This is what I've told people is I don't know what I've done. I mean, I've now cracked the code to getting more viewers on Twitter. I cracked it. I found it out tonight.
You did crack?
I have more people that watch on X than any other platform. Even when I'm on YouTube,
I have no idea who's watching. Where do you see this at, man? Because I have no idea.
You see it on the counter on the number counter on StreamYard. Well, you can see it on the main homepage too. I do not think people even know that.
I've already done the video's over. I just want to know where it is now. Where do I find it again?
It goes to your main homepage.
On X? No, yeah, it's not there, dude.
What the fuck? What did you do? Did you delete it?
None of my videos are in my media. No, it's still up there.
God damn.
None of the videos. Any of yours in your media section?
For like my actual videos? Well, that's the thing. I don't actually post videos here. I think this is mostly for media, as far as like images or memes or whatever. If you guys, are on Twitter,
I dumped my live stream on there.
Live streams are just in your main timeline, but you have to scroll down to find them. And you said, how do you see how many people are viewing? So whenever you hit a live stream to X, it'll tell you right here how many people are viewing it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's the thing is, when you're on Twitter, people don't think to themselves, hey, I'm going to click on this and watch the live stream. Because people are so used to like the spaces where they have to enter and hear it. I was thinking, man, I wish Elon Musk would fix the monetization on the platform regarding how you are able to get monetization, and like streams and fixing that. The reason why X, Twitter, whatever, can't compete with YouTube yet regarding that is because Elon Musk hasn't figured out a program that'll let X be monetizable in that way. Once X can be monetizable for people our size, that's a game changer in and of itself, Since I've now realized to myself I've cracked the code on getting people to watch the show on X, it's over now. But it won't matter in the grand scheme of things until the platform changes. So, I'll just be here for the long haul. But, I do want to say to anybody that's watching on X, I do greatly always thank you for taking out the time to watch and listen to the show, despite my many retakes the show, actually.
91.3K. impressions in the last 28 days.
How do you check that stuff? That stuff I don't know how to check, honestly.
They kind of buried the analytics page because they're supposed to be doing a better one, but I'm definitely not getting
Remember there was that old Twitter function we used to have where you could figure out who unfollowed you? There used to be this old Twitter thing where you could follow, you could check out who unfollowed you. It since became X, they got rid of it. But that'd be a cool thing to do. It's like, who gave up on you? That'd make things spicy drama.
Since the start of the year, I've had 305,700 impressions.
What?
I don't know how that gets anybody to actually.
Check your analytics. Oh, I forgot. It has to be in like analytics, though. It has to be.
Yeah. You've got to go to ads. You go to more. You click ads.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll tell you. Yeah. I tried it out tonight. Actually, here's the thing. I'll tell you, I'm going to try it again and I'll see if it works. Because, you know, I like to try more than one thing sometimes to see if it works. But I think I've cracked the code. I think I did. I should have probably.
Or did crack.
Or did crack. Yeah, actually. But that's the thing, man, is if there was a way for people to donate on here, if there was a way for the – because, like, this is the problem with Twitter live stream chat is it's bad. Like, Twitter live stream chat is bad. Like, the actual live chat is awful. It's a horrible, horrible live chat. It is literally just the most basic dog shit ever. You can't send emotes. It's really bad. It's awful. They need to fix the live streaming experience. It's gotten way better, but it needs a lot more improving. Let me see what's happened on my Twitter page. I'm just going to just post a bunch of hot women. That's how you get views, apparently. All right, he said, what's your objective? Reach, engagement, clicks. No, I don't want to see my ad. Create an ad. Oh, no. Oh, okay. So now I understand what that means. Okay, there we go. It's like creating an ad. Analytics. Count home. Okay, so we're working on improvements to analyticsx.com. In the meantime, you may see some metrics are missing. You can access your post analytics and download reports here. So I've gotten 178K post impressions. Those are pretty good, honestly. Good actual God. Look at that. That's incredible. All this stuff going out on here. But, you know, man, people are... They're doing something on here, but I do want to say thank you to every single person who has checked out the show. Actually, you guys are awesome. We'll be we're gonna try and get something together for like indie comics, doing like something big for that. Actually, let's see, give me one sec. But like, who's buying this, man? Like, if we're being honest here, who buys Valiant freaking comic books? No one buys that stuff. Who buys their comics? Blows my mind.
Communists.
Oh, Lord.
They had a communist, like, super god character, too. It's fucking weird.
They have an update for Valiant. By June 2023, Valiant Comics output had slowed down over the course of the preceding year to one monthly title. XO Manowar.
I don't even know how.
Unconquered.
At all. Like... They've never been able to pull in the talent to write characters that are even somewhat vaguely interesting. And they just apparently stopped trying.
What do you mean, stop trying? Did they ever try at all?
Really? I mean, they tried to make money, I guess.
Okay, so they, as I just said, they got reduced down to one monthly title because they announced it in June of last year. So that's not too far away that they announced this, right? XO Manowar Unconquered, which is this one. Then they have Ninjak Super Killers scheduled for them. And then that month, the company announced a licensing partnership with Alien Books, which would see that publisher take over publication of Valiant Comics, graphic novels, and trade paperback collections. So they're literally just down to one title a month. For Valiant. That's it. So you have Ninjak Super Killers hardcover. There's Bloodshot Reloaded, which is coming up. Of course, I think Bloodshot's their flagship character at this point. Bloodshot.
Pretty much.
Number one.
I mean, to be fair, though, one book a month is still more than Iron Age Kings.
Oh, 6K since I got this account back? Yeah, the way they locked you out of your account was fucking trash. That was stupid. I don't know. Why they did that. Bloodshot Unleashed Reloaded number one. $4.99, 32 pages. They're down to one. I agree with Valiant on this. One variant cover. I agree with you on that one.
Do you really need more?
I think like two should be the max. You know, I think Marvel goes a bit overboard with the variant covers, honestly. Like, you don't need that many. That's what I told indie people, too. Like, you don't need that many variant covers. One or two is fine. You don't need, like, 10. Like, what do you need 10 variant covers for? Like, who's buying all that stuff? It's probably the audience. You should kind of, you know, find that out. Huh. But, yeah, we're going to end up wrapping it up here in a little bit. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to check on Valiant because I really felt like no one has really kept him in the conversation at all. Like, Bloodshot's dropping then. Okay, so what else is coming out? No, that's pretty much it, honestly. What other forgotten comic book company do you think no one talks about as much anymore? Oh.
What is another one?
I know Valiant did it. I mean, Boom is really only kept alive by Power Rangers, actually.
Yeah, Boom. Actually, IDW.
Oh, you're right.
Deadness.
Walking Dead. IDW, they have Sonic and The Last Ronin. That's it.
They still have Ninja Turtles, for fuck's sake. Why, I don't know.
I'd argue that Sonic and Ninja Turtles are what's keeping them alive. Because no one's buying them Star Trek books. Like, who's buying them Star Trek books, actually?
Nobody fucking... Because they're not putting out Star Trek people want.
I don't know who's buying IDW books at all, honestly. Aside the stuff we just mentioned. They relaunched Last Ronin, but it's like Last Ronin Revolution, a new series based around that, because that's the only thing that's selling for them outside of that and Sonic, honestly. They have these other titles coming out called Dungeons & Dragons, Star Trek, TMNT, The Untold Destiny of the Foot Clan. They have My Little Pony books coming out. Then they have TMNT versus Street Fighter trade paperback. That's
That's kind of interesting.
That's kind of interesting.
But yeah, okay. The Last Ronin stuff is basically the next generation of Ninja Turtles. So they're actually making a whole... They've... What was the term I used before? Mantleized Ninja Turtles. But they will be... I don't think they're going to be like the Turtles' kids. Like Casey Jones's daughter from Last Ronin. Mm-hmm. Somehow encounters New Mutant Turtles. They're all different color of turtles this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wonder if I could pull it up here.
What other comic company has not been doing good? Yeah, IDW and Valiant.
IDW, Valiant, Boom.
Boom is just kept alive by Power Rangers, if I'm being honest here. Yeah, those three for sure are on the chopping block.
They're all still alive via licensure.
Yeah, so, just licensing out their characters to, you know. Dark Horse got a Boom with Mark Miller. I don't know what happened with Image to the point where they lost Mark Millar, but they lost Mark Millar. Image, that's
probably big. Has something to do with whatever's going on between Larson and Todd McFarlane. If I remember this correctly, though, I think Larson is a bit of a raging lefty, and I don't know that Todd McFarlane gives a fuck. He just wants his company to be successful. He wants his legacy. I mean, again, the Larson, I don't know anybody at all who reads Savage Dragon.
Scout Comics. We heard Scout Comics don't pay people. I've heard it from a guy that I had on the show before, and he put it out on a tweet. Scout Comics, yeah, I would steer clear away from that company.
Probably the best idea.
If there's ever a publisher out there, like especially on the lower, smaller side, that's announced that they don't pay their people, yeah, you will be getting my money at all, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the most part. That's just super fucked. You pay the people, just because it didn't work out for you, you pay the talent. Never do that. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up here in a little bit. I do have to get up for work in the morning. I got to get up at 6 in the morning. But yeah, man, anything you want to say here before we head out?
Nothing too crazy. If anybody out there wants to check out some weird 3D printing shit I did last week on Friday, go check out my Dad Builds channel on Rumble. I need one more follow and I can give it a custom URL, rumble.com/dadbuilds. I'll probably be doing more stuff on there. That's where I'm going to be posting my silly little 3D print videos I do, my time-lapse videos that I do and my setup videos.
Yeah.
It's also where I'm probably going to do some 3D printing live streams just so I can juke the algorithm by basically doing a little 1 hour podcast of me setting up a print and discussing the print and discussing the designer and everything else. Yeah. And then literally just letting the stream go for like 5 hours while it prints the fucking part, because I can do that. And the longer your stream goes on Rumble, I think the more attention your video gets. And either way, it just by the nature of it being up forever, people are going to stop by, click on it, give it a view, give it a look, maybe give it a like. I need to work on some overlays for it. I want to be like, you know, here's my stream elements. Here's a please, you know, like, share, subscribe, all that crap on it. And then I'll come back. I'll finish up. I actually finished that video while I was on Rogues Gallery. I just shut my camera off there, came over there, finished, showed the parts off and said, boom, they're done. And I kind of go and I'll interact with chat through it. So it's a new format I'm kind of working on. It involves me using two disparate computers to run everything. So I'm trying to figure out some latency issues with the video from the computer over there with the 3D printer and getting it to StreamYard. But besides that, I've got another episode of Dad's Cast coming up this Saturday with Small Town Famous. He's another one of these dad family podcasters who's over on Spotify. I think he does some live streams as well, but mostly he puts his stuff up on Spotify that I know of. So I'll be discussing fatherhood with a man up in Alaska, which is the disparate opposite of the barren brown ass desert I live in here in Arizona. So it'd be interesting to just kind of see what sort of different things they have to deal with here or there versus here. Here we have sunburns. I'm assuming there they've got frostbite, you know, and maybe a bunch of other different things. So come check that out Friday. It's going to be, I believe, 8 p.m. Pacific time. But check me out on X. I'm always there at Prof Savage Dad doing savage memes, calling out retarded shit like the ATL, posting my my starter kit for You Don't Read Comic Books. Check that out. Definitely, you know, that's how you get started in the world of being accused of not reading comics. I'm hanging out Friday night for Rogues Gallery with Iron Oxide, you and Vagabond, Diesel, Jack, maybe Jess. So
we'll be there. Madden says, I lived in Phoenix for 35 years. Oof, good Lord.
For me, for 40 fucking two on April 3rd. I was born here and I'm tired of it. I'm hoping to move to Texas.
Oh, I want to point out here, you can check out Professor Savage out on the channel. He's here Wednesdays and Sundays when we're reviewing whatever comic book we're going to be doing. We're going to have some big title stuff. I know he's wanted to do Long Halloween for a while, so I bought the Long Halloween, the one you have. I had to go in my closet there and find it. I know exactly. It's still in good condition. I want to go through it again.
You came out of the closet again?
This week coming out, we're going to be reviewing the Remnant issue number 0 from the Grok Comics Universe Trial and Tribulation, whatever they want to call it, taskforcesomething.com. Check it out there. Great quality indie comic books. A great indie comic book publisher, actually. Has a ton of stuff there on his website. And people say, but do the books cost a lot? These are really affordable books. You can get like a 50-page book for like $5, actually. Great, great guy. And great company he's running over there, actually, you know? And can't wait to dive into this universe, actually. Cannot wait to dive in.
Your money. No, I mean, I wish I could get it on a pull list or something, but really this might start becoming at least monthly. I grab one of these in the 50, unless I'm buying something in any book that's going to suck up that whole $50, which there aren't many, I would drop that money on. I dropped the money on Matt Wagner and Kelly Jones's Dracula like origin book. And I dropped that kind of money on Razor Fist and G Prime's Ghost of the Badlands. Because those are going to be really good. I think they're going to hit really well. And then I'm also going to get, really in April, the reason I haven't dedicated to much of anything is because I do want to get Dean Cain's book in April. I want to have that ordered by the time I go.
I have it ordered.
It won't be here.
You're right.
I had Void Rivals, like, because this is the thing that may come in and kick me back in the butt is picking up this and then getting Transformers and G.I. Joe. If it really does turn out to support the while.
Yeah.
This is in April. I will be deciding if for some god-awful reason, I'm going to go and start a fucking poll list again. I don't want to, but I might do that for G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Yeah, because when I get the trade paperback for Transformers, if the past issues past that, when it's collecting, isn't too far out, I'm going to just start getting the issues after that, you know? Because the trade paperback comes out in May.
Be that bad.
And issue, that means it, around that time I should be on issue 8. And at that point, you could just pick up the issue subsequently. Honestly, at that point.
At that point, they're not going to be too, I think shops will hopefully be picking them up.
Oh, Wes from Thinking Critical brought this up too, man. Oh my god. They haven't, for G.I. Joe series, they haven't even did Snake Eyes yet. They haven't did Snake Eyes or Storm Shadow. That's the big one they're holding out for. So that's going to be, whoo! And they announced Dan Slott writing Snake Eyes. I probably won't be buying that, but you know, to each his own.
Oh, fuck.
Please don't. But
this is the problem I have with going to do a poll list and why I might, but I'm so leaning heavily towards not and just getting trades, because the nice thing is that I'll just, when they fuck it up by like bringing Dan Slott in or turning Optimus Prime into a trans hyphen former, I can just stop reading it.
I don't think they're gonna do that with this series. I think they brought in Kelly Thompson, but I've not read anything she's done. And I told people here, if the Scarlet series doesn't pan out, they did a good G.I. Joe and Duke and Cobra Commander series. Like, it's important. They're not going to strike out on everything. Not everything's going to be a blowout. But if they've shown that they have good dedication to Transformers as a whole, Duke, Cobra Commander, I'm honestly waiting for Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. I'm waiting for that one. That's what I'm really going to be waiting for. But
Dan's going to have them fuck each other.
Oh, no. I just made that up, that they're going to hire him. He's not hired yet. I don't know that. I don't know that, actually.
Like, I'm just literally going to have them, like, bang after a really, really intense fight.
But I know people said, oh, well, you know, I told you they're going to fuck it up. We don't know if you're going to, guys, we don't know if they're going to fuck it up yet. You have to actually read the book to know if they fucked it up. No. Let's just say they did. They have GI, they have Duke, they have Cobra, they have Transformers. That's three knockout books they have. Doesn't matter what the fuck she does. She could write some bullshit. It doesn't matter.
They may fuck it up, but you can at least enjoy what was there. And this is the point of my other channel, my long boxing channel, is going to be the point of, like, there's still shit out there to read, guys. There's shit you haven't read yet. I'll pull this book out a million fucking times. There's old shit that still exists that you can go buy today and read, and it's worth the fucking while. We will discuss such things on long boxing once I get the channel going or the show going. I have a channel for it on Rumble, but it'll probably be just a show on YouTube, because I'm trying to at least get my main account to 3,000 watch hours and 500 subs and all that. So check that out. It's coming eventually. I keep bringing it up. I keep talking about it, and I keep completely dropping the fucking ball on getting it done. But I will be better about content as time goes.
Yeah, me here too. Like, that's the thing, is it's not always going to be us reviewing a comic, because, you know, that can't be feasibly possible outside of the ones we set up. The reason why I haven't did it yet is because I just get very nervous when I do anything new. I'm like, I really want it to be my first impressions really do matter. So I want it to be, like, absolutely perfect when I do something initially by myself, you know, good. It's just, you know, whatever content you guys see, keep in mind, channel covers everything. Fuck algorithms. Who cares anymore? Just put it out. They like it. They go. Just go for it. You know. Now that I've cracked the code, algorithms
like to get fucked.
Yeah, people keep talking about Void Rivals. Yeah, there's a guy in the G.I. Joe collector group talked about Void Rivals. And a lot of people talked about, oh, this is fantastic.
At its start. And I don't even know what this book is about. I don't even know what it's supposed to be. I haven't read it yet. I just know that this is where it got its start. The new Transformers and the new G.I. Joe appeared in this. I mean, this is the little Energon Universe logo there. So, and the Transformer characters are in here. I think there's a G.I. Joe character in here. I'm not sure what the series is even supposed to be exactly. The Energon Universe starts here. The blockbuster Oblivion Song team from Team of Robert Kirkman and Lorenzo Del Felicia. I don't know. launch an all-new shared universe connected to the Transformers and G.I. Joe universes. Okay. War rages around a sacred ring where the last remnants of two worlds have collapsed around a black hole in a never-ending war. However, when pilot Darak and his rival Celia both crash on a desolate planet, these two enemies must find a way to escape together. But are they alone on this strange planet, and what dark forces await and threaten their universe? So, I mean, you can see the got Jetfire on the back here. He pops up in there. I don't know if this is an ongoing series that's still going on, because I still see more issues than issue 6 on the shelf. So I have no idea. Oh, dude, you know what else I'll have to do here at some point? Look what I got today. I got bags and boards.
I should have
been almost a fucking decade since I bought bags and boards, dude.
I had a ton of them because I opened up the books. I threw them away.
Oh, you're retarded.
Are you not supposed to throw them away?
I never bagged this series here that I got as part of some sort of like mystery box collection. Yeah. It was the Rasputin series. Apparently, mm-hmm. kind of like a graphic novel retelling of the origins of this old-timey Russian warlock dude who is a real person. So I had that sitting on my shelf forever, and I'm like, no, I should bag and board those. My son had a bunch of Sonic comics laying around, and I'm like, oh. And then I had Grok, which came in that big bag that he sent it in, and I'm like, oh, I can't leave it in here. So I got bags and boards. And that's weird. I might go through and replace some of the really shitty bags on my very minuscule collection of comics that I clearly only recently bought.
Yeah, so I can't. Yeah, man, whenever you get the long boxing channel going on, yeah, I look forward to that. Good Lord.
Oh, soon. Hopefully sooner than later.
You know what? What I got to do, I can't really exactly reveal the secret I'm going to do for my own comic haul, but I don't have a shop around me, so I got to make it kind of ghetto, but it is going to work. People like the authenticity, you know? But yeah, we're going to be reviewing Remnant number 0 this week on Wednesday, Top G's. And then after that, we'll do the other stuff in order from this book series. I bought, I don't know if Distant Thunder came in from the Kickstarter campaign. I'm pretty sure it did. It's probably in there somewhere. But I just went like, you know, I'm just going to rebuy it. I don't care. I'm just going to rebuy it and just make sure I have it. And we'll just pick out whatever character that has an ongoing series in there. I know he threw in some extra stuff in there. I knew he did. But yeah, thank you guys for watching tonight. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Monday Mayhem. Make sure you guys, if you're listening to the podcast, check out the Iron Man. So on the podcasting platforms, you just type in Master Swag King and it'll be like Iron Man podcast, Conan podcast. There's two podcasts under the umbrella. Keep that in mind. If you want the stuff based around League of Legends, that's the Cloud9 podcast. If you want stuff based around all this stuff, that's this show. Go and binge to your heart's content. Actually, there's plenty of content here, and wherever you consume your podcast is greatly appreciated that you gave your time and support to listen to our show. And we'll see you guys